Turn, please, in your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 15, we'll be reading verses 16 through 22, page 335 in your Scofield Reference Bible. All right, let's please stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll read these verses responsively, please, starting with verse 16 through verse 22. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed the king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And then let's read together also the text verse, verse 22. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And let's please pray. Lord, we thank thee, we praise thee for this day. The weather conditions aren't perhaps as we would like them, but thou hast given this day that's set apart of all other days in the week for the gathering of thy people in a place where they can be refreshed and strengthened, where thy word is preached. And so bless in this hour. Thank you for these faithful ones who've come. And we pray now that thou wouldst anoint our preacher and bless the preaching and the hearing of the word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Saul was the king of Israel. He had been commanded to slay all of the Amalekites and all of their cattle. He had not done so. He slayed all the Amalekites except the king, and slayed all of the cattle except the best of the oxen and the best of the sheep. When called to account concerning this disobedience, Samuel questioned Saul as to why he did not obey completely God's command to slay all the Amalekites, not all but one, and to slay all the sheep and all of the cattle, and not all but the best sheep and the best oxen. Saul said to Samuel, "Are you listening?" He said, "I saved the best sheep and the best of the oxen to offer as a sacrifice to you." Now, are you listening, please? Don't look around. Look at me now. Good night. It's time to listen. You watch me. That's what this is for. You need this truth. That's one of your troubles. You look around and take notes. And some folks the other day were doing homework in the balcony during a service. I'll guarantee you one thing. If you enjoy homework so much, we'll give you twice as much to do. But you need to hear what I've got to say, and that's everybody in this room. So Saul said, I kept the best sheep and also the best oxen, and I did it so I could offer them a sacrifice. And the Holy Spirit inspired Samuel to say to Saul some words that every Christian ought to have indelibly imprinted in their heart, and that is this: to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. There's not a more important word to the child of God than the word obedience. I'll never forget this, and you ought to hear this if you never hear a thing I say. I'll never forget hearing Dr. J.R. Faulkner, who is, by the way, one of the great men of our generation, one of the men that I admire tremendously. He's been for how many years, Dr. Evans, the assistant pastor for Dr. Lee Robertson? 35? Oh, I imagine more than 25. Who knows? So he's been working for him probably over 30 years anyway, and no doubt about it, he's the senior assistant pastor, associate pastor, or co-pastor in the entire world. Dr. Robertson's second man, and he's known all over America as being probably the senior second man, the associate, co-pastor, assistant pastor, whatever name he's had through the years. I'll never forget. He said one time, he said, Dr. Robertson called him in and said, said, Brother Faulkner, I want to hire you. Work for me. He said, Mr. Faulkner said, what will be my title? Oh, he said, I'll call you pastor's assistant. And he said, what's the salary? He told me. He said, a few years later, he came in and said, Dr. Faulkner, I want to give you promotion. He said, what to? He said, assistant pastor. He said, well, what are the duties? He said, same as you've been doing. He said, what's the salary? He said, same as you've been having. He said, he called me in several years later and said, I want to make you associate pastor now. He said, good. What's my salary and duties? He said, same salary, same duties. And he called me later. I want to make you a co-pastor. He said, what's my salary and duty? Same salary, same duties. And the truth is, no matter what he is, he's a loyal assistant pastor and helper. And I heard him say this. I'll never forget it. It's almost shocking to hear. I heard him say in front of three or 4,000 people. He said, what Dr. Robertson says is what I do. He said, Dr. Robertson, I do everything he says. Somebody asked one time, said, you ought to obey God, not Dr. Robertson. He said, I cannot obey God without obeying Dr. Robertson. But here's the scripture he gave, and I want to read it to you. It's one of the most amazing scriptures in the Bible. When God called Aaron to be Moses' helper, God said to Moses, and Aaron shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be to thee instead of a mouth. Now get this, Dr. Faulkner read this scripture as why he obeys Dr. Robertson. And thou shalt be unto him instead of God. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, is a hunk of scripture. God said to Moses, I'm going to give you Aaron as your assistant, and he shall be your spokesman, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. The other day, a young person, 16 years old, wrote me a note and said, Brother Hiles, my father tells me to do so and so, but I'm supposed to obey God, not my father. You got a hole in your head. Your father's given you instead of God. And you're in obeying your father, you are obeying God. Tremendous word, this word obedience. Obedience is the most important thing to teach a child. Obedience is the distinguishing mark of spirituality. I'm for tears. I'm for shouting. I'm for praising God. I'm for lifting up holy hands. But I said obedience is the distinguishing mark of Christianity. Obedience is the measuring rod of Christian growth. It is the most infallible proof of sincere love. It is the most noble of all human virtues. Obedience is the cure of procrastination, the vanisher of doubt. It is the purest of rivers that flow from the fount of Calvary through banks of love to paths of service. Obedience is the first law that God ever gave to man in the Garden of Eden. Obedience is the bloodhound that finds the will of God for one's life. Obedience is the forerunner of all of God's blessings. It is the signpost that points to peace. It is the source of every success. It is the debt, the biggest debt, that you owe yourself. And obedience is the continuation of happiness that is born in faith. The Bible says, if you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. In Isaiah 1:19. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. The secret to the first miracle of our Lord was obedience. Mary said, Mother Jesus said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now there's a good motto scripture. There's a good life's verse. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Your theme song ought to be, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. Or mountain, or plain, or sea. I'll be what you want me to be, dear Lord. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. only to be what He wants me to be every moment of every day. Yielded completely to Jesus alone every step of this pilgrim way. Just to be clay in the potter's hands. Ready to do what His Word commands. Only to be what He wants me to be every moment of every day. Did you ever stop to think about this? That the biography of Jesus' life, 30 years of it, for 30 years of His life, there's only one thing said about it, and the summary of that 30 years was given in these words. He was subject unto them. 30 years of His life. That's all it says. He was subject unto them. Obedience. Obedience is more important, and I want you to hear every word carefully now. Obedience is more important in school than grade. Now, you parents ought to get a right priority on this matter of grades. So you parents will take your children to a poorer school so you can get better grades. Obedience is more important in work than salary. Obedience is more important in business than profit. Obedience is more important in the ministry than preaching. Obedience is more important in government than authority. Obedience is more important in love than beauty. Obedience is more important in worship than tears. Obedience is more important in religion than cathedrals. It is more important that you be obedient at school than you be a good athlete. It is more important that you be obedient at school than to be in the National Honor Society. It is more important that you be obedient at school than be Miss HBHS or Miss Highlander or Mr. Highlander or Mr. HBHS. It is more important that you be obedient than be valedictorian or salutatorian of the senior class. I'm saying that obedience is the only way that you can measure the spirituality of an individual. You will never do anything harder than to obey. Obedience is the doxology that God loves to hear. Obedience is the fragrant incense that God loves to smell. Obedience is the showbread that God loves to taste. Obedience is the embrace that God delights to feel. Obedience is the offering that God wants to receive. Obedience is the adornment that God likes to see. And God will not tell you what you do not know about His will until you do what you do know about His will. You're not a good child because you can play the piano well. You're a good child because you obey mom and dad. I've said this 10,000 times across the country, at least when our kids were growing up. I never have put David on the hearth of the fireplace and said, "Son, I want you to sing a song." And Dave stands up there and sings a song, and I never have done this. And I clap and say, "Oh, that's good." No, sir. No, sir. I do not believe in applauding talent. I believe in applauding character. I'd say, "Son, take out the garbage." And Dave would say, "Yes, sir." And if he took out the garbage, I'd clap and say, "Hey, why?" We teach our children to sing and to play and to make good grades and all of that. All of it's okay. But it's all sounding brass or tinkling cymbal unless our young folks learn to say, "Yes, sir," when they're told to do something and obey the command of mom and dad. You young folks are not right with God if your mom says, "Make up the bed," and you don't do it. Did you hear what I said? I said you're not right with God. You may sing in the Sweet 16, but you're not right with God unless you obey your mom and dad. And you may sing in the Strength and Beauty and take a tour with them every year, but you're not a good Christian if you don't obey your mother when she says clean up your room. I'm saying what America needs, what fundamentalism needs, is not only revival of amens and revival of shouting and praising God, but America needs revival where young people and subordinates learn to obey the authority that God has placed over them. Obedience. Obedience. God would rather you go soul winning than shout. He would rather you study than weep. He would rather you witness than tingle. He would rather you tithe than worship. Disobedience caused the entire human race to fall. If you want to see how important obedience is, look at the leaves of autumn that clutter your yard. They're there because of disobedience. If you want to see how bad disobedience is and how important obedience is, look at the barren trees in the fields. They're barren because of obedience. If you want to see how important disobedience, if you want to see how important obedience is, look at the hospital. Drive down past St. Margaret's Hospital and look and see those hundreds of rooms there and think of those suffering patients. They're there because man disobeyed God. Drive out to Munster Hospitals and drive out to Dyer Mercy and drive over to Gary Methodist and drive out to Merrillville, the hospital out there, and look at the cemeteries as you go and the tombstones that raise their heads as testimonies to disobedience. When man disobeyed God, the whole human race fell. You wonder how important it is to obey God. You hear the serpents hiss and the storms wind and the wail and the moan and the sob. Everything that's bad in this world is caused by disobedience. And everything that's good in this world is caused by man's obedience. I recall 20 years ago over when I was wrestling about the will of God. For months, I did not even want to consider coming to Hammond. For months after that, after I considered coming to Hammond, I did not know if I should come. And then for months, several weeks after that, I knew I should come, but did not want to come. And I can recall when I knew God wanted me in Hammond, and I did not want to go, and I was rebelling against the will of God. I was wrestling against the will of God and did not want to perform it. I did not want to obey. And oh, let me tell you something. You're not a good child unless you obey. And you aren't a good student unless you obey. You smart alecks at high school that think it's smart to disobey the teacher. You're a pipsqueak. You're an empty-headed fool. You know, I say it so often. I think we cheer too much for athletics and don't cheer enough for obedience. Now, I cheer for athletics. I cheer. When our football team came up to Maranatha and I was up there preaching and they played good night, I was a fool on the sidelines. I was screaming in the hall. Hey, man! I got with the team at halftime and the score was pretty close and I got with the team at halftime and I said, fellas, I've got to stay here and preach tonight. Now I'm going to be a fool. And I said, if you guys will win this game, I'll buy all of you a steak dinner. Good night. I didn't know what I was saying. But I think it's important to cheer on the athletic field. But one reason in our schools, Dr. Staub and Claire and Lively and Evans and other educators, is this. We punish for disobedience, but do not praise enough for obedience. Call the cheerleaders out! Have them go rah, 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 obedience, obedience, obedience! Well, make it a big deal. There's no way you can be a good Christian unless you obey. No way. You might be the best soul winner on Saturday at noon, but if you go home and disobey, you're not right with God. You might memorize more scripture than anybody in the Young Fundamentalists, but if you left your room this morning and your mama said make your bed and you did not make your bed, you're not a good Christian. You're a backslider. You check sometimes in the Bible how often it lists with all the sins of immorality and homosexuality and all those wicked sins it injects in there, disobedient to parents. As I was wrestling with this matter of coming to Hammond, I knew God wanted me to come. I'll never forget it. One day, I was underneath it all. One day, I was almost oppressed knowing that I had to come to Hammond or God wanted me to come, but I didn't want to go. I went to a shopping center. Never forget it. On the corner in that shopping center, there was a man who had a little dog. And he'd hold a hoop up and say a word, and that dog would jump through the hoop. He'd just go like this, and that dog would lay down his back and look up like that. Yet anything that that man suggested that puppy dog do, he did. And I stood there with tears rolling down my cheeks, and I said, that's what I need to do. A little puppy dog, more obedient to his master than a man of God is to his master. I was driving down the Texas prairie, looked over beside the road, and I saw the tumbleweed as it was going. The wind was blowing. Just the slightest puff of wind would lift that tumbleweed. And whichever way that wind would blow, that tumbleweed would obey the command of nature. And I watched that tumbleweed as it went across the Texas prairie. And I said, oh, God, that little tumbleweed obeys the wind better than I obey your will. I turned on a baseball game that summer day, and they showed the third base coach down there giving all these signs like third base coaches give. And I saw the batter step out of the batter's box and look down toward the third base coach, look carefully, ready to do exactly what that coach told him to do. And I went to my knees that night and I said, oh, God, no little puppy dog is going to obey his master more than I obey you. And no little piece of tumbleweed is going to obey the wind of nature any more than I obey you. And no batter playing with a stick, hitting a ball over a pasture, over a fence, out in the field somewhere, is going to obey the third base coach more than I obey you. And that little tumbleweed and that little puppy dog and that third base coach God used to lead me to come to Hammond. And the great work that's followed here would not, no doubt, have been done had not a servant decided to obey. Obedience. Look at a burning city of Sodom, the whole city leveled because of disobedience. Look at the woman turned to a pillar of salt, all because of disobedience. Look at the widowed Naomi as she stands beside the grave, looking down at the grave of her father and her two sons, all because of disobedience. Look at the defeated Jonah in the belly of a whale because of disobedience. Look at a dying Moses unable to go into the promised land because of disobedience. Look at a wandering nation for 40 years wandered in wilderness all because of disobedience. Look at a dying Achan being stoned to death along with his wife and children all because of disobedience. Listen to me, folks. The source of every problem, hear me now, the source of every problem you have in your life is disobedience. Everyone. Every single problem in your life is caused by disobedience. If you'd get the place to say, and oh, it's so hard to get there. It's not what I want, but what he wants. It's not where I want to go, but where he wants to go. Just to do. Now listen carefully. You said, Brother Howells, how can I obey God? This is very vital. Basically, God has delegated special people to represent him on earth. Hold it. I'm not saying that these people are gods. I'm saying that these people represent offices that God has created. And we obey God in a great capacity, especially while we're young, by obeying those people who are in delegated offices. For example, a child obeys God by obeying his mom and dad. Oh, I hate this year of the child business. I hate this business of a child. I heard a lady the other day on a radio station giving a talk on why children ought to vote. I mean, an impassioned plea. He said they're human. They have a right to vote. The honest, simple truth is all a child has a right to do is to obey the God-given authority that God has placed over him. God has given a student at school, principals and teachers. And I want to say this, and I want you to hear me carefully. Some of you parents are making the mistake of your lifetime by defending your child against this man right here. Mistake of your lifetime. I've gotten 4 letters this week from parents who are good people. One lady said, I won't let my child go back to school until he gets to change teachers. Now, woman, you've got a hole in your head. I said, you've got a hole in your head. Well, you say I haven't. Yeah, that's your problem there, too. That's why God gives you principals and teachers. But you say they're not perfect. Well, then we'll hire you and we'll have one perfect one. Perfect idiot. Now, you better hear me. You say, obey your mom, obey your mom, obey your mom. But don't obey your principal. He's unreasonable. I've got news for you. Mama, you've been unreasonable 50,000 times more than Mr. O'Clair has with your child. Your child sat there all the time. Hush! Hush! you can't hush while you're... you can't do that. I'm simply saying that you will rue the day. And I'll guarantee you one thing. I can tell you the kids that turn out bad. The kids turn out bad because we do not teach our kids to obey authority. Obedience! But you say, my child can play the piano. Obedience is better than sacrifice. But my child is a good soul winner. Obedience is better than sacrifice. But my child memorized 100 scriptures. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And what you better do, and take some of that time you've been teaching 2-year-old Johnny how to shake hands and teach him how to obey. The day a little kid came to my study. Woo, my soul. Brother had Judas carried in there. Everything that was in there was rearranged. What wasn't stolen. And as he left, the mother said, by the way, not a member here, so don't be worried. If you're worried, then you need to hear what I got to say. And the mother said, as he left, said, Sonny boy, shake hands with Dr. Hiles. And that little fellow looked up at me, stuck his hand out like that. I shook it, he squeezed it like that, and smiled. And she said, that's a good little boy. Handshakes just don't really impress me a great deal. But sometimes little children come in my office, they sit there on the sofa or in a chair, and they sit there more afraid than the 50 hostages are over in Iran today. And they're a little, boy, that impresses me. That impresses me. You can teach them how to shake hands later. Teach them how to obey. I mean, right off the bat. Right off the bat. That's why God gives you a pastor. That's why God gives you rules and laws. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I was preaching. By the way, I don't claim to be much preacher. I have no claim to that. But I think God knows this is true, and I suspect that most anybody that knows me very well knows this is true. I'm going to do what he says to do. As long as I have sanity. I was preaching not long ago. They advertised in the paper, come and hear the pastor of the world's largest church. And that's getting more embarrassing all the time. Because you picture what he's going to look like, you know. 6'4", big bushy head of hair. So far that describes me perfectly. But then they picture. And I like to come out from here and not from that down like that. Because when some churches, a pastor walks down the center aisle and my bald head is in the back, you know, where everybody can see it. So I always, sort of go like this, you know. Walk up the stairs sort of like this. You know. Sort of like that, you know. And the choir knows what I'm talking about. Hush! But you know, it's pretty big order when they advertise you pastor of the largest church in the world. I mean, they put that out and they use that as a drawing card and a gimmick to get a crowd. And it's almost embarrassing to walk in anymore. I walk out and they look at the door and say, there's the custodian. Now, where's this pastor of the largest church in the world, you know? I was the day I was out east. I walked out and I could tell that some of the folks were surprised. Yeah, I'm not exactly a Wilt Chamberlain. Or Muhammad Ali. But I finished preaching. And I wasn't exactly an R.G. Lee either. When I got through preaching, I was walking out the door and later didn't know I was behind her. And I'm already reading, quote exactly. I heard her say to her friend, she said, what's so hot about him? Same thing you've asked many times, you know. And what's hot about him? And I went to my room and I relived some things that I've thought through the years. What is so hot about him? What about me? Honestly, there's not much. I used to wonder why God had put me on the scene. I don't have the mind of a John Rice, nor do I have the generalship of a Lee Robertson. Or the eloquence of Bob Jones or an R.G. Lee. I used to wonder why God put me on the scene with so many preachers looking to me. And then one day it dawned on me. There ought to be somebody in America who has a big church, who doesn't have all the natural attributes to which you attribute success, who can show that it can be done if you just obey. If there's anything hot about me, it's the fact that I'm willing to do what he says to do, and I'm willing to obey. Oh, let me tell you something, folks. I've seen them come and go. Dr. Evans, I've seen the young preachers rise and fall. I've seen what talent can do without obedience. I've seen what ministerial public speaking can do without obedience. But I've seen those little fellows who just say, "Dear God, I don't know how I'm going to make it, but I'll do whatever you say do. I'll do what you say do. This is an important month for me, because 35 years ago, this month, quarter of midnight, 1944, in a watch night service at the Hillcrest Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, God called me to preach. And God called Joe Boyd to preach just 3 months before he called me from the same church. Joe Boyd was an All-American football player. I was a little bit of a runt. They called me Jackie Boyd at the church. Sort of an introverted kind of fellow, flunked public speaking in high school. And after they called Joe, when they called Joe Boyd, everybody clapped and said amen. And then I started to preach on New Year's Eve, 1944. And that night before I went to bed, in the wee hours of the morning, I looked up to God and I said, "Dear God, I don't have what Joe Boyd has. I don't have his big physique, and I'm no All-American football player. I don't have a fair countenance, and I don't have what Joe Boyd has. But I said, "Dear God, I can't give you what Joe Boyd can give you, but I can give you as much of Jack Hiles as Joe Boyd can give you of Joe Boyd." And I said, "Dear God, if you'll tell me what to do, I'll do it." At that time, I thought I was supposed to be a missionary to Africa. And I said, "If you'll tell me what to do." And I gave him all I had. I wish I could tell you what God's done with a little bit, if it obeys. Could I review one little story that I want to hear myself for a second? I'll close. Everybody was so pleased. "All-American Joe Boyd, going to be a preacher." Nobody took it very seriously because little Jack Hiles was going to be a preacher. Several years ago, maybe 10, maybe 12, I was preaching in Dallas, Texas. Joe Boyd was there, came to hear me, was not speaking. He just came to hear me. And I said, "Joe, what are you doing now?" Joe said, "I'm pastoring a church down in Baytown, Texas." And I said, "How big is it, Joe?" He said, "Run about 150 in Sunday school." I found out they're meeting under a tent, had temporary chemical toilets outside the tent, and the church wasn't doing much. Then I said, "Joe, you weren't meant to be a pastor, and you know that. You're meant to be an evangelist." And Joe said, "Brother Jack," he said, "I don't have any invitations for revivals." I said, "What? Joe Boyd, my childhood hero? Nobody wants to invite you." He said, "Jack," he said, "folks don't know me around America like they know you." And I said, "Joe, if you'll let me, I'll schedule you for 1 year." I couldn't believe what was going on. I came back to my study. I got on the telephone and called friends across America. And I said, "Folks, I've got a fellow here. He's a good preacher, one of the best soul winners I know. I said, try him. Just for my sake, try him." And I scheduled Joe Boyd from the Pacific to the Atlantic for 1 whole year. And after I closed that schedule, I began to realize what had happened. And I got on my knees and I said, "I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Little old Jack Hiles scheduling Joe Boyd." You say, "What are you trying to say?" I'm trying to say that the secret of the Christian life is obedience. It's doing what he says to do, going where he says to go, being what he says to be. Not your will, but his. Not your way, but his. Not your desire, but his. Not your appetite, but his. That's the great secret to the Christian life. And if you'll ever learn it, you'll learn to unlock the cupboard to everything that God possesses. Obedience. Obedience. When we walk with the Lord, in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, if withal we'll trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust
and obey.